Well, appreciate the Lord and His wonderful word. He's given me a portion of it to share with you this morning. Appreciate your prayers that the Lord would write it upon each of our hearts the way that only He can by His Spirit. I'd like to begin in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. I'd like to consider the words of Christ. As I've written on the board, settle it. Luke 21, beginning in the 12th verse, it says, "But before all these, speaking of earthquakes and divers places, famines, pestilences, things of that nature, but before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers, for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." Jesus was warning His disciples of some troublesome times, some difficulty that they would be faced with. I've said before that Jesus never engaged in bait-and-switch tactics. He never promised one thing and then come to find out there was fine print, something in the details that they weren't aware of. It wasn't what it was made out to be. He warned them that if you're going to follow me, that you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. They're going to reject you. They're going to persecute you. The time will come that they'll even put some of you to death. But I think about the promise that Jesus gave here, that He said, "And it shall turn to you for a testimony." Think about in Revelation where it said in one place, "And they overcame Him, the accuser of the brethren. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Do we have a testimony today? You know, a testimony is something that is personal. Whenever I have a testimony, it's not just relating secondhand word of mouth of someone else. This is my testimony. This is what the Lord has done for me, what the Lord has shown to me. This is where the Lord heard and answered my prayers. This is what I used to be, but the Lord delivered me and made me something else. It's a testimony. It's what someone testifies of another or of what has happened. Whenever they give testimony, it is their word of what has taken place. He said, "These things will turn to you for a testimony." You know, we can, maybe you hear a fiery, inspiring testimony and think, you know, I want a testimony as well. Or perhaps, I know the devil's told me things like this before. I remember as a teenager hearing the testimony of some who had gone out in sin and they'd come back singing the song, "Sin will take you further than you want to go. And what the Lord saved me from and delivered me up out of." And I remember thinking, I don't have a testimony like that. Sure, the Lord has saved me, but I haven't gone out into the depths of sin and experienced and be able. And I remember feeling like my testimony is pretty weak, pretty shallow. Well, don't listen to the accuser of the brethren. Guarantee you the Lord's plan is not for us to go out into the world so that we can have a testimony. The Lord can give us a testimony right where we are. And what greater testimony is there than to be able to say, "Look what the Lord's kept me from"? Thank the Lord He can save and deliver from the depths of sin to the uttermost. But He can also keep us from going to those depths. "It shall turn to you for a testimony." You know, the Lord can take the things that would seem to ruin us. And those are the very things that he wants to turn for a testimony. The Lord, in other words, can take our test and turn it into a testimony. What the enemy, one song says that Satan tried his worst to do, the Lord was by my side, I knew. And the Lord can take again those things that the enemy intended for our destruction, that maybe men intended for our destruction, but you know the Lord can take and turn that thing where it does not accomplish that purpose in our life. It doesn't serve to destroy us. It doesn't serve to tear down our faith. But he can turn it for a testimony of the grace of God working in our lives. The testimonies that we read about and throughout the Word of God, for example, things are written for our learning. It wasn't because they were exceptional people. It was because they trusted in an exceptional God. It was because they, out of weakness, were made strong by God's help and His strength. The Lord turned their situations into testimonies. Do you know He had to have somebody that was willing to go down into the lion's den? He had to have someone who was willing to be faithful to that point before he could record in the annals of history the deliverance of a man who was faithful to God from the lion's den. That's the kind of testimony, Lord, I want the deliverance testimony. I want that great victory, but I've got to be able and willing and consecrated to go down into the pit, not knowing what the end of it is, not knowing how this thing turns out, but yet be fixed in my heart. Lord, I'm trusting in You. And I know that You can turn this for a testimony. And whenever we put our lives into the hands of God, it's never in vain or a waste of a life. He told them as He's warning them of these things that were to come to pass in this world and in their lives, that wasn't the time. It wasn't here. It wasn't now. People asked Jesus, why is it that Your disciples don't fast? Oh, the day is coming when they will. This isn't the time. Jesus was with them in this moment, and He was warning and preparing them for the times that were to come. And in that time of preparation, in that time before they faced their persecutors, He gave them this admonition: settle it. Settle it in your hearts. Now is the time to get it settled. Now is the time to get it established, to get it fixed, to get it anchored, to get it rock solid. Not waiting until the time when you face your persecutors. Settle it now. Get it fixed now. Get it decided right now before you ever face that day. And I believe that there's great wisdom in that. And I believe there's a message the Lord has for us today in this. We need to get some things settled. We don't know what's coming for sure on the face of this earth. We know what the end is, but I don't know what lies between here and there. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know exactly what's coming in this nation. But you know what I need to be doing right now? Settling it. I need to be getting some things settled and anchored down right here and right now. Don't wait until the time of darkness. Don't count on your emotions to be the same whenever you're facing the threat of death. Now's the time to get it settled. Not waiting until that time. Get it settled. Think about, would like to turn and just remind us of a story that is, it's really familiar to us all. But let's turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel, the third chapter. Three and five of Daniel. What time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Well, that was the decree. That was the word that went forth, applicable to all people who were present. No exemptions given. Whenever you hear the sound of the music, bow down. And if you don't, here's going to be the consequence. You ever have the enemy play out the consequences in your mind? Now, you know if you do this. Now you know if you don't compromise right here. You know what's going to be the end of this. Now, you know if you trust the Lord how this is going to turn out, don't you? They heard the consequence. They heard the decree. I'm going to tell you, that's not the time to try to get something settled. You're going to have something settled before you get to that point. The 12th verse, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Oh, may that be the testimony of every one of us. They serve not thy gods. They don't worship. They don't bow down to the same things that everybody else is bowing down to in the world. They don't give homage to that. They don't spend their time on that. They don't give their allegiance and their love to that. They're different. They stand out. You know, there was something in that. That they didn't just look at these young men and say, oh, poor guys. Poor guys. They can't figure out that this is the best way to live. Poor guys, they're missing out. Those old superstitious men or whatever they might could have said of them just kind of clucked their tongues at him and move on. There was something within that saw that and it angered them. And it's the way the spirit of the enemy is that is still alive and well in the world today. And in Jesus' time, he said, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world's going to hate you. So settle it. Be prepared for that. We're not here to win popularity contests. We're not here to make enemies. But we're not here to gain the favor and popularity of the world. Settle it. Go ahead and just accept and settle it in your mind that I'm here to please someone other than the world that's around me. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. You ever read between the lines? I know there's a caution of adding to the word, but I'm talking about us putting ourselves in our mind there. I want to imagine what it would have been like. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not go into this lightly. They didn't go into it ignorantly, not knowing the decree. They knew the decree. They heard the decree. They saw everybody else bow down. They also saw that servant or the messenger headed for him. And I'm sure they could read on the look on his face, this is trouble. Well, boys, this might be it. And I wonder if they looked and tried to encourage themselves. Meshach, you still in this? Yes, Brother Shadrach, you? I'm not bowing down. I'm going to tell you, they had something settled. They had something fixed that wasn't subject to debate or negotiation. That they weren't saying, well, you know what, I'm going to leave myself a loophole here. I'm going to kind of see how it goes. And I've seen a bumper sticker on a cars before that says, morally flexible. I'm going to tell you, I don't want that to be the testimony of my life. Well, just kind of bend with the wind and flex with circumstances and I might believe this today, but if I get into some tough places, I'm going to adapt that. And I'm going to kind of mold and just be flexible with the times around us. They would have had opportunity to bow down like everyone else and even reason in their minds that, well, in my heart, I'm not bowing down. The Lord knows my heart and He knows that I still want to serve God. But you got to understand the pressures that are around me, the times that we're living in. You know, we've got to be careful with the reasonings of our mind. We've got to be careful of the philosophies of this world. They will seem very reasonable. They'll seem very plausible unto us. They'll present themselves just like the serpent did to Eve. Well, you know, that sounds reasonable. Sounds real reasonable. They could have reasoned their way right out of standing for the Lord. They could have reasoned themselves right out of a testimony. You know, you can also read this story in reverse. You can read this story from the end and back up to the beginning. And I'm going to tell you, had they reasoned their way out of this, the end wouldn't have been what the end turned out to be. The testimony that turned out to be, that went across throughout the whole province, the decree that was overridden by a king who himself saw for himself the very Son of God move on the scene and deliver these young men whose heart was changed in a moment, who God was able to take a heart of stone that was so hardened against these young men, and the fear of God come upon him. The Lord used these three men to do that. The Lord used these three men and their faithfulness and their steadfastness, who were not willing to yield, were not willing to bend when it came to their convictions before God, who had it settled and fixed. The Lord was able to use that to get a hold of this king and to cause the decree to go out throughout the province. There is one true God, and He alone should be served, not the gods that we set up. What a before and after. What a contrast from just maybe an hour before that. It was the work of God. It was God that did that. It wasn't, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't the Hebrew children and their ability to come and stand in the face of the king and say, I'm going to tell you exactly where you're wrong. And I'm going to debate with you. And I'm going to reason with you. And reason the cause. There's a place for that. But I want us to go back to where we began. Settle it therefore in your hearts. Not to meditate beforehand. And I've thought about that many times. Well, what's wrong with thinking about it, preparing for what's about to come? You know, the Lord was trying to get them to a place that you've got it settled, no matter what the outcome is, that you're not trying to play it out in your mind. And, well, what if this? Well, what if that? Well, what are we going to do if this comes? And how are we going to handle that? Trust in the Lord. And He's talking about having a conviction that is so firm that it doesn't matter what turns out. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if this thing goes sideways on me. Lord, no matter what happens, I'm going to stand by your grace. Lord, no matter what happens, I'm not going to yield to the tempter. I'm not going to give in and succumb to the pressures around me. Because there's that danger of leaving it open to me reasoning. Leaving it open. Well, you know, this is really what I want to do, but we'll just kind of have to get into it and see what happens. They had it settled. They had it fixed from the get-go of what they were going to do. And they left the rest in God's hands. And God was able to take that. And He was able to do what God alone could do. Folks, the Lord wants to make a testimony of our lives. And we're not in these times. Not yet. Not here. Not at this time. That time may come. I'm going to tell you, now is the time to get it settled. Now is the time to get it locked down. My conviction, my relationship with the Lord. Think about where Jesus spoke concerning John the Baptist. John was in prison and the people were... He spoke to him and said, well, what did you expect to see? He said, turning out the way you thought it would turn out. What did you expect to see? A reed blown in the wind? Is that what you expected of John? He wasn't. He wasn't something that moved with the winds that blew. The convictions of our world are hardly that. They're subject to opinion polls and the changing times. I remember one of our very own senators who co-sponsored a bill in our federal government defining marriage as between one man and one woman, according to the Word of God. In a matter of years, that same man had changed his position. That same man whose son had come out and declared himself to be gay and said, I don't believe that anymore, and I'm pushing for it to be legalized. And I'm, where's your convictions? Did you believe it or did you not? Did you believe it because it was popular? Did you believe it because the majority believed it and it was okay? Did you believe it because it was the politically expedient thing to do? Or did you believe it because it's true and it's right? Did you believe it because your convictions were founded on the Word of God? Because if that's the case, it doesn't matter the political winds. It doesn't matter the changing of opinions. I've got it settled. I've got it fixed. I'm going to tell you, I have no question in my mind. I'm not trying to figure out what's a man and what's a woman. I got it settled. I've got it fixed. That thing's not flopping in the wind with me. I've got it settled. But that's not the only thing that we're going to have fixed. We're going to have a hold of something. Be connected to the vine. We're going to have to be tied into something that gives us life, that enables us to be able to stand. And now's the time to get it settled. Oh, I love the Hebrew children and their testimony. Whenever they were brought up, they were marched before the king, knowing full well what was likely to come. I don't know how far they walked, but they walked far enough to start backpedaling on some convictions had they not had it settled. They walked far enough and they to see the king's face as they approached. His visage changed with his fury. That if they hadn't had it settled, I'm going to tell you, there's some things that would have started flapping in the wind. But whenever they came, he said, well, 16th verse. He said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. And you know, in their words, I don't see a carnal, in-your-face type of demonstration that the world's protests are made of. I don't see that. What I see is a quiet, settled resolve. O king, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I'm going to tell you, God is able. But I tell you, the one that I'm anchored to, the one that I'm tied to, he is able to deliver me. He's able to bring me through this. I've got my eyes on one who is above the powers of this world, that is above the principality and the powers of darkness. I've got my eyes fixed on one that is greater than he that is in the world. And he's able to deliver me. He's able to bring me through, and he will. But if he doesn't deliver me from this furnace, I'm going to tell you, it's my convictions can't be burned off. I'm going to tell you, my determination to serve the Lord is not predicated on a bunch of lawyer loopholes. Well, I'll serve the Lord except in this circumstance, and unless it goes this way, and unless it goes to this degree. No, I've got it settled. I'm serving the Lord. That's it. I'm serving the Lord. I'm not going back. I'm not turning around. Folks, I want to encourage us. I want to urge us today. Get it settled. Get it fixed in your mind. It doesn't matter how this thing turns out. It doesn't matter how this thing goes. I'm serving the Lord. I've got it fixed. I'm not walking up to the king trying to figure out, do I really believe this or do I not? Is this really something that's true? Is God really even true? I've got it settled. I've got it fixed in my mind. It's time to get some things settled today. Settled in my mind. Settled in my heart. Jesus said, settle it in your hearts. If you don't have it in your heart, whenever that time comes, it's going to crumble. If you don't have it settled in your heart when that time comes, your heart's going to deceive you. And it'll tell you something else. And it'll find a loophole. It'll find an escape path for you to be able to take another route. Get it settled before that time ever comes. Don't trust yourself in the moment of distress. Get it settled before you ever get to the moment of distress. Don't wait until the pain gets great. Don't wait until the diagnosis comes. Don't wait until the threatenings of men or your persecutors come. Get it settled before that time ever gets here. Lord, by your grace, this is what I'm going to do, because I know it's only by the grace of God. Get it settled. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, tells us when we ought to serve the Lord, and it says to do it. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And some of us here today will say, well, I'm no longer in my youth. But I'm going to tell you, compared to 10 years from now, you're in your youth. Remember now thy Creator. Remember today the Lord. Put the Lord first right now. Get your convictions settled and built and established right now in the Lord. Before the evil days come, whatever those evil days might look like for you or for me, I don't know what's in my pathway, but I know this. I need to remember the Lord right now. I need to redeem the time that I have today. I need to take advantage of the moments that I have right now, when we can come together and worship the Lord together, when we can proclaim the truth of His Word openly and freely with one another. Take advantage of it. We don't know how long it'll be. I don't intend or want this to be a dark message. I'm not trying to foretell something that's right ahead. I don't know what's in the future, but I feel an urgency in my spirit that we get it settled. We get it settled in our lives and in our hearts. This isn't the time for wishy-washy service to the Lord. This isn't the time for undecided flipping and flopping one way or another. It's time to get some things settled. It's time to get them established and settled down where I know before those evil days come. Oh, if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, what are you going to do whenever the swelling of the Jordan comes? And how are you going to contend with the horses? If in this day and in this time, the peer pressures of the world tempt me to compromise my convictions because somebody snickers at me and maybe shuns me from the welcome of their company, What am I going to do whenever they're holding a sword at my throat? You see, I can look at those things and think, well, when that day comes, I'll stand boldly and say, I'm a Christian, a child of God. If I can't stand in the day when somebody snickers at me, I won't be able to stand in the swelling of the Jordan. If I can't trust and have faith in God when the easy times are here, I won't be able to trust Him and have faith in Him when the hard times come. This is the time to get it settled. This is the time to be able to say, Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, strengthen me for the battle. Lord, help me not to weary when I contend with the footmen. Lord, help me to rise above these battles that now seem so big. To rise above those because bigger battles are coming. So Lord, help me to be able to, by your grace, to rise above. Think about whenever sailors who are facing a storm. You don't always have the luxury, based on where you're at, to get back to safe harbor. Many a time sailors have had to ride out the storm on open water. Actually, safer being further out in open water than near a shore and not harbored. You know, there are certain actions that they would take when the thunder started to crash, when the wind started to pick up. There were certain actions they'd take to be ready and able to weather the storm. They'd lash down the gear and they'd batten down the hatches. You ever hear that saying? Batten down the hatches? Those are activities that you take before the storm hits in its fury. You're getting ready in anticipation that the storm's coming. And those things that are maybe just resting on the cabinet or maybe just stacked on the deck, they're not going to remain that way. It's time to tie them down. It's time to take some rope and cinch them tight. Because anything that is loose, anything that's just setting, whenever the storm hits in its fury and the waves are rocking the ship to and fro, those things will become projectiles. And those things will be gone. You know, I see it the same way with our beliefs and our convictions. If we don't get them settled, if we don't tie some things down whenever the water is calm, if I don't get a hold of some doctrines, if I don't get a hold of the teachings of the Word of God, whenever things are going well, whenever the storm rises up in its fury and my boat is being rocked to and fro, I'm going to tell you, those things are going to start sliding around. They're going to start moving. They're going to start being thrown back and forth. Lord, help us to get ready for the storm. Lord, help us to batten the hatches down so I don't take on the water of this world. I don't take on the influences that are all around. It's time when before the storm hits to get ready, to get watertight. It's time to tie those things down that could start moving around, that I need, that are important for me. Folks, the Word of God is important for us. The doctrines of the Word of God, they're not just optional accessories. They are necessary. His Word is a lamp unto my path, a light unto my feet. I need it. Job said, I've esteemed it more than my necessary food. There are things that are essential for me that I don't want to get knocked off the deck when the storm hits. I don't want to go through the storms that on the other side I've lost my faith in God. I come out the other side and I'm so confused of what truth is and right and wrong, and I can't tell up from down. I needed to get some things lashed down and tied down ready for the storm. Amen. Numbers, the 22nd chapter. I want to look at the story of a man who didn't have it settled. Numbers chapter 22. Just setting the story here a little bit. Balak the king had sent unto Balaam with an entreaty that he go and curse the people of God. Now, is that something that you think if the request came to you? I want you to go and stand before the congregation and curse every one of them. That you'd have to wonder whose voice that was. That you'd have to wonder, Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you talking? The scriptures, even in the New Testament, bear out that there was a condition inside of Balaam's heart. Whenever this request came, and at first it came and he asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, no, don't go curse my people. These people are blessed. How are you going to go cursing that which I've blessed? No, Balaam. So Balaam went back and he gave the answer and he said, oh, I don't have right here which verse it is. He said, well, the Lord won't suffer me to go with you. Almost like he was disappointed. Well, the Lord won't let me go. I guess I can't go with you because he won't let me. And so he went back and they gave Balak the word. Oh, Balaam said he's not coming. Well, I tell you what. Let's sweeten the deal a little bit. I want you to go back and now we've got an even better offer for him this time. You know, the enemy knows where our weaknesses are. He knows he can recognize a covetous heart a mile away, and he knows just how to entice that very thing. He sent word back again, and here they come again to him saying, look, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder from coming with us. This is important, and here's the deal we got for you. Balaam answered and said, now at first he said, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. I want to ask you something. You ever heard somebody who just with all vehemence gives a testimony, I'll never move away from this position that I've taken. I believe this and I'm standing on this, and many times critical of other people who aren't taking the same stand. Balaam here said, if you give me all the gold and silver, I'll not do that. Remember Peter? Though all men deny you, I'll never deny you. And just a short while later, there was Peter denying the Lord. Better get us settled. Peter had his chance to get us settled. Peter, can't you watch with me? Watch and pray, Peter. Now's the time to get it settled. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Balaam, what you doing here? And goes on to say, now therefore, I just said, I cannot go, I will, doesn't matter the offer. Now therefore, I pray thee, just stay here for a little while. Just tarry ye here also this night that I may know what the Lord will say to me more. I'm going to go back and ask the Lord again. I mean, the deal's sweeter. Surely the Lord would know. I'm going to get greater honor and riches than before. Surely the Lord will let me go now. I'm, of course, applying some of my thinking to what was going on in Balaam's mind. But he went back to the Lord and asked him a second time, Lord, can I go up? And you know the greatest danger of all. The Lord said, all right, go. Folks, it's important for us to get it settled. Balaam didn't have it settled. Balaam should have the first time around. Nope. Don't even bother. Don't even come talking to me. There's no use you staying overnight. I've already asked the Lord. I know what the Lord's mind is. I know what His word says. I'm not going to curse His people. The answer is the same today as it's always been, and by His help will always be. No. Sometimes we got to, all the time, we got to be firm with the enemy. No. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not contemplating it. I'm not debating it with you. No. You give the enemy an inch and he'll take a mile. Balaam didn't have it settled. And in his indecision, when the moment of temptation came, he was enticed. He was drawn away, enticed, and fell. Lord, help us to get it settled before the moment of our testing comes. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength indeed is small. In other words, it's an indicator of what I really had settled, what I really had fixed, and what I didn't. I want to think about
A story from Paul's life. We'll try to conclude here before long. Acts, the 27th chapter. Whenever Paul was being taken as a prisoner and a storm came up and was beating his ship. If you'll remember the Lord, 23rd verse of the 27th chapter, that stood by me this night. An angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Well, he went on and talking to them about this, he said in the 31st verse, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Remember, the Lord stood by me and he said, "This, everyone that's on this ship is going to be saved. Don't be afraid." But there were some who, fearing, began to flee from the ship. Were about to flee from the ship. They were letting down the boat into the sea. Again, in their mind and in their reasoning, this is the only way out. This is the thing to do. I've got to take action here. Don't let fear be your motivator. Whenever we act out of fear in our lives, it will seldom be of sound judgment, the decisions that we reach. But they let down the boats and Paul stopped them and said, "Men, I told you the Lord spoke to me, and only those who abide with the ship will be saved." Whenever they heard that, they got a hold of it and it said they cut the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Folks, you know we need to cut the ropes. Now understand the analogy here. Some things we need to have tied down. But we can have in our mind escape plans and options. "Well, Lord, if you don't come through for me here, Lord, I'm giving you until tomorrow at this time to do something. And if you don't, I've got options. Lord, I'm giving you a chance, Lord, but if you don't, I got an escape plan here. I got another avenue that I can take, Lord, if you don't work." I want to encourage us to have it settled. And having it settled means I'm not even holding on to the lifeboat. I'm cutting the ropes. It's gone. Lord, I am entirely in your hands. Have it settled. Be willing to cut the ropes and let the options, let the backup plans that I would try to build in my mind, let them fall away. Job said in the 13th chapter, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job had it settled. Job wasn't waiting until that time. And now what do I do? Well, does God love me? Is God true? I know. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had it settled before that day ever came. And he was able, even when his wife says, "Curse God and die." No, I'm holding fast to my faith in God. I'm not letting that go. The scripture says of Jesus, Isaiah the 50th chapter. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed." Lord, help us to set our face like a flint. Thank the Lord, as Jesus' back was given to the smiters, his cheek to those who plucked off the hair. He had it settled. He had his face set like a flint. I'm not changing. I'm not turning back. I'm not giving up. I'm going all the way through until he could say, "It is finished." Have we set our face like a flint? Joshua said to the people, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." It's deciding time. It's time to get some things settled. It's time to get some things locked down. Choose you this day. How long will you halt? Maybe that was Elijah. How long will you halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be vacillating back and forth? Get it settled. Get it locked down in your mind. Folks, when we have doubts, when we have questions, when we're just not real sure, oh, Lord, help us with a fervency of spirit to seek the Lord. Lord, I want to get some things settled. I don't want things to be blowing in the wind here. I want to get it fixed. In closing, I want to remind you of a story I've told often. It's a story of King John of Bohemia, the 14th century. He was a blind king, but he had a desire to be in the battle against England in that case. Battle of Crecy, I believe it was. And he wanted to be in the battle, and so he asked his servants. He said, "Would you set me on a horse, put a sword in my hand, and lead me to where the battle is?" His men, I would assume because of their devotion to him, said, "We're going with you. You're not going alone." And they went, lined up their horses, and they did one thing before they rode into the heat of the battle. History says they went into the battle. They were killed. The next day they found King John and his men lying beside their horses. And the bridles of all of the horses were tied together. That was the one thing they did before they went into the battle. Why would you do such a thing? They got it fixed. They knew that whenever the sword starts slashing and the arrows start flying, this old person is going to want to tuck tail and run. I know whenever the battle gets hot, my temptation is going to be, I'm out of here. Lest that happen, I'm going to tie the bridles. And I can imagine they double knotted him and tied him tight and said, "We're going. Let's go." You know, I'm challenged by that level of devotion. If men will do that to an earthly king, Lord, help us to tie the bridles of our hearts. Lord, I know whenever things get tough, I know whenever the fire starts raging, Lord, this old flesh can only take so much. Lord, I need to tie myself by my determination, by my vows to the Lord. I've got it settled. I've got it fixed. Turning back isn't an option. Giving up is not an option. Turning away from the Lord, that's not an option. I've got it tied. I've got it fixed. We've got it settled. Lord, help each one of us to have it settled. Would you pray for me? Amen.